So tonight, transference, triggers, how is it that the past controls us? You hopefully remember, although I think some of you did it in 2004, some of you did it in 2019, some of you might have done it in the few ones that we did earlier this year. But I'm going to take you back and remind you of when it was in the process, just because, even I can remember it from 30 years ago. What a very vivid memory it was at the time. Just a word or two about what it means, of course. It's just a, in English we borrow from Latin because it sounds more fancy, but it's just a carryover. What we're talking about here tonight is what we carry over from the past, or a lot of Hoffman is about this, is about what our old brain brings into the present, what our emotional self or emotional child does to trip us up. Now, and you probably know all that, but there's basically transference is carrying over from the past. How is it that I can be normal and rational one moment and then boom, flooded with emotion the next when somebody just gives me a look or walks into the room or says, can I just give you some feedback? And you're out. I guess you all know this, but we'll get some time for sharing later. My intention this evening, whether you've got it printed or not, is to work through one of our sheets that we do, which will be an actually numbered page one, not the first page, but it'll be numbered page one on the handbook that hopefully you got. And if you haven't, not a problem, because I'll be reading through it and be working through it. I think really am going to enjoy this bit for me as a teacher, because we never get the time to do it on the process, which is to explore it further, explore what transference does to our bodies, to our feelings, what it's stirring up inside, and to be able to take that hopefully back into more of a childhood emotional memory, so we can start to disengage from the old story. But for that, of course, we need to kind of know the old story. So I didn't introduce myself. I think Serena did. Some of you I know, but a lot of you I don't. I've actually been living out of the country the last few years. I'm back here now. I'm back actually in lovely sunny Devon at the moment. And so I will remind you where it happens in the process. After a couple of days, which have been pretty intense, bashing, introduction to the process and bashing. If you did your process before 5 years ago, and actually was on the fourth morning, but for now it's on the third morning, there's a session, and again, I clearly remember this, where the teachers, the facilitators sit there like on a panel, like on your sort of worst nightmare of a job interview or a tribunal. And they say, we're going to talk about transference. And we explain it. And then we encourage you to come up to us to speak with one of us about a transference, a link from the past. And there's usually a collective groan because we've sort of, I don't know if we spring it on you, but we have you write it down. And then we say, oh, and now you're going to deliver it to us. And it's usually, oh, no, my God. And hopefully the experience itself is a positive one of I can speak to somebody in authority and I will feel okay. And later in the week, I remember that myself, and I remember, being able for the first ever time with somebody who was a leader, somebody who was, had the power over me to tell me when to eat breakfast and when to turn up and when to go to bed and all that, of saying, you reminded me of a parent or a surrogate when I experienced you as being very bossy. The patterns I went into were feeling shut down, feeling criticized, feeling small. And which I learned from my mother, say. Very refreshing, for some people, quite scary, and we can look and explore a bit more today. But remember, this tool in the cycle of transformation, it is actually meant to be just an awareness tool, an awareness to disidentify from the old story. So I don't have to be always triggered from my past, I can be aware of it. And awareness, of course, in Hoffman language has to come with self-compassion, with kindness, not with even more judgment, not with even more criticism laid on. So please know that. And the second time in the process that we do with transference, maybe even more scary, because we ask you to identify times in the week when you've had a reaction to somebody else in the group. And, you know, there's a core belief about, you know, you've established quite a bit of trust and rapport. You've been able to, you know, see each other in many different emotional states. And now you're being asked to do something that a lot of us associate with criticism. A lot of us associate with putting somebody down or being put down. And we try to frame it in a very modeled, structured way, which again, we'll be doing tonight. But we are communicating it, even though we're saying it's not a communication tool. We're using it very much in a structured way there. So let me iterate. It may be a sort of a mixed message, but it is just an awareness tool. Now, of course, from your knowledge, from this evening, from other times, and some of you were on a relationship webinar a few weeks ago, and Matthew also worked through the transference. This time, I want to go, you know, even spend more time and talk about it and have you share about it a bit more. You can, of course, choose, if you're feeling very, you know, bonded and close to somebody, to communicate in a vulnerable way. I would say this is what goes on with you, to communicate your story. But what we're learning here tonight is how to sort of put down the story from the past so that you can be in your present and you can have better relationships, especially in this lockdown time when we might have had to spend a bit more time than we'd planned with certain people. Anyway, so we're going to look at various things. Later on in the evening, to give you a chance to share more, we're going to probably do breakout rooms, probably three or four people, just for a few minutes, so you can unpack a bit of what you've written there. Maybe, you know, get some stuff out that's been on the paper, share a bit with each other. Then we'll come back into the main group, and I'll go through some questions and answers and some stuff that comes up. And then if we've got time, as well as, you know, looking at patterns in the cycle of transformation, we'll look at doing a recycling. How can I imagine myself going into a situation where I'm responding rather than the reacting? And recycling, of course, comes down to, you know, the basics of embodying my spiritual self, being a certain way so that I don't have to be triggered by the past. So there's a brief introduction to, or an overview of what we're going to do tonight. May I suggest that, since we all have busy lives and lots of other noise going around at the moment, that we just take a few minutes to center ourselves and be here before we go on and do any more sort of internal work. So if you feel comfortable, just allow your eyes to close. So you're just reminding yourselves for a minute or two that you're going to be checking in, that the journey is going to be on the inside this evening. So in any technique you like, you may feel the sensations in your body, feel your body sitting here or standing here or lying here, wherever it is you are. Maybe take a couple of more conscious breaths to change the oxygen in your body. And another one. And just, you know, send a good signal of intention to the four parts of your coordinate, to your body, to be here, be comfortable, be settled. If you need to get up and stretch, or you're in your chair and stretch anytime, of course, that's fine. Enjoy your cup of tea, enjoy your water. Reminder to your intellect that you may learn some interesting stuff here, or be reminded of interesting stuff here. Be prepared to sort of, you know, fill in the gaps or get a bit more understanding, make more connections about yourself and how you operate with your intellect and your emotions. So sending an intention to your adult intellect. And third, setting an intention this evening with your emotional self. And we may talk about you as the emotional child this evening, because we're looking at your story from the past. What do you bring in from the past about the present? So, emotional self, we ask you to be honest and open, and know that there's nothing wrong in coming out with being more vulnerable or saying, you know, I don't know why this comes up again and again. We'd like to know more from you, emotional self, emotional child. Body, intellect, emotions. And then, of course, and please, for a moment, if you like, put your hands over your heart center. Always know that this wonderful part of us, our spiritual self, is always there. Part of us that you can see or picture with your own eyes, very clear, your own face. Breathe into that wonderment of your spiritual self and know that your spiritual self is always there, perhaps in the background, guiding you, leading you to what we call on the Hoffman, the right road, a road towards a brighter, lighter future. So breathing your spiritual self, letting your spiritual self flow all the way through. And then, yeah, being here with your full quadrinity, getting yourself ready in any which way. Make sure you've got, yeah, no distractions around. It can be as quiet in the background as possible. Open your eyes and let's begin. I'll put my glasses on if any of you've got questions. I think if we unmute everybody, we may get some background noise. Pretty soon, I'm going to start with a written or spoken or a noted transference. But you all remember, right? You all hopefully have some memory of transference. You may have checked it out. But I feel one of the things we can do from this webinar is put it much more strongly in context, because the process, there's so much happens on the process. There's so much emotion flying around. And this is wedged in between a talk on shame, another guided bash, a dance, a lunch, a vision here, and so on. And this is after, 2 days you've already been there. So maybe this time we'll make more sense of it rationally. I don't know if I mentioned, but yeah, if there's time, we'll do a recycling. So triggers, being hijacked by the past. So first thing to do is to make it more personal for you. What is a particular carryover, a transference from the past that affects you in your current life, or even in your most significant relationship? What is something that you want to explore this evening where you feel often triggered? And make it personal to you, because somebody looking at you in a certain way, I get this sometimes, an example, somebody I experience glaring actually may just have a preoccupied look. My emotional child may think that person is glaring because I've done something wrong and I get scared. Another person says, what are you staring at? And they get angry and fight with them. Another person may say, wow, maybe they're just trying to look over into the distance. We're looking at what would be a negative reaction. So think of one, and we'll pace it out. So the first bit is going to perhaps feel familiar for those of you who've got good memories with the process. So I want you, either the written, or I can read it through, or if you've got it, on a computer sheet, it's the page one. Sorry, I'm right in the sunlight there as well. Basically, transference worksheet. I had a positive/negative reaction too. Just before we start that, I, of course, have noticed that it says the first choice is I had a positive reaction. I prefer to do that one on the second round, later if we come to it and we do another transference one. Why? Because the negative usually allows us to get into the good, juicy, gristly stuff of transference. The positive can be a little more woo-woo and nice and all that. It may take a little while for us to get to the from the idealization bit to the how it what it does to us. It undermines our sense of power. But we'll talk about that later. Footnote, I was teaching in one country, Brazil, where they allowed the students to do positive transference to the teachers. And I saw why we don't here, and in the other English-speaking countries, we never do, because it's a very easy way out for Hoffman students to be nicey nice to the teachers. I actually quite enjoyed it, but that wasn't the point. It was on a personal level, if there's still ego or any patterns about that, of course, nicer to hear that. But what I would like you to do is to start with a negative reaction to somebody. So first line in all of this transference, in learning about for the awareness of it, is who's the person? So name them. So now you're bringing it right up to the conscience. I had a negative reaction to Sarah. Notice there's not the word you here. We're not going to do one. So I had a negative reaction to person's name here. Now, in order to make it very clear and simple, before going into the whole blame game story, all you're doing in this initial bit is writing down where and when. So it's a very objective description, kind of like you're filing a report yesterday at lunch, or this morning when I first saw you when you came into the room, or on the phone, or on a Zoom call. Now, it could be all the time. When we said in the process, it often gets a laugh, but it's true. Some people were in reaction to because of our old stuff and their certain facial behavior or how they walk. You know, maybe they've got a certain pride or arrogance you feel, or maybe they look very broken and sunken and you want to rescue them. It may be all the time. I'm just going to read a couple of questions. Actually, good timing because I can read the things, read some of the chats. Can it be to a group of people? Yes, it can. In order to make it more conscious with the unconscious mind, because what we're trying to do in all Hoffman is to dig in so the past doesn't have to feel the present, is maybe take a representative from that. So our unconscious can kind of click on that person, and then you can radiate it out. Can it be to an organization or a company? Yes, you know, if there's a certain culture, but again, because you know they're not gonna hopefully haul you up on disciplinary proceedings, you know, you can maybe think of one person again. And it can even be a situation if you want to work with it that way. I'm going to teach it in the more conventional mom, dad, surrogate way. And a person way, because just then it allows me to go in the steps of Hoffman. But please, you're graduates, you're in the master's program or the PhD program, so you can adapt it to how you want, and I'll just do my bit of leading it through. So if it's for a group of people, or it's for an organization or a company, you know, put that down. What's important is you're taking your responsibility for it. As you know, hopefully, when you signed up for this or signed up for Hoffman, a lot of this movement is from blame to taking responsibility. And of course, it doesn't mean that you have to condone their behavior. We're looking at how do we lead our lives in a calmer, more present way, rather than being tripped up all the time by the past. Yeah, and again, somebody's written, actually everybody can see it. It doesn't feel like a parent or a surrogate. I also feel sometimes that's a bit simplistic, you know, and I'm, you know, meant to be speaking the Hoffman party line. It can, you know, sometimes it's like a figure from our teenage years, you know, a school teacher or a boss. But what we're looking at here, I suppose, is before that, what was set up, you know, what becomes familiar in a situation that we're going to feel criticized by somebody. coming way back to the basics, I was just thinking about this earlier today, is you know how we at the end of a visualization, we often use the words I am love, loving, and lovable. In the very first welcome ritual, also known as the bittersweet chocolate ritual, we say, I see you and I love you. The fundamental wounds, of course, way back, we're not getting our needs met. We don't feel lovable. We don't feel seen or heard. And this trips us up again and again. This comes back into our, it gets well set in our old brain, in the software there, and it trips us up. It emotionally hijacks us. So even though, you know, it may be hard to trace it back to a parent or a surrogate, I'd say the benefit of the doubt here, I mean, we're not going to be bashing on them or anything. We may just talk about the dark side in us that, you know, gives us this sense of defeat sometimes, or being overwhelmed. But please, yeah, be creative, adapt this how you want it, and it will make more sense as we go along into, you know, the actual the patterns and things. So I had a reaction to this person here, day, time, and location. So it allows you to your intellect to start making up, to put together the present and the past, to put together the situation in and unpack it. And then the line goes, I experienced you as. Now, some of you may know this very, very, very well, and you've done other models of communication. What not to do, I experienced you as being a total insensitive jerk. I experienced you as an unfeeling, caring name label here. You're getting in. Experience the person as you're getting in here, just the perception of the judgments and quotations it's got in the little bit there. So my perception of you, as I perceived you, I very nearly said I felt you there. I perceived you as uncaring. I perceived you as hostile. I perceived you as angry, or I perceived you as giving up. I perceived you as weak. I perceived you as crying. I judged you, you know, my judgment of you was of somebody who couldn't handle the situation. I judged you as I judged this person as not caring about me. No, you know, we're getting now back into a more vulnerable thing about what my original needs are. So that's where you put all the stuff about experience. Obviously, you remember that. I experienced you as uncaring, unsympathetic, hostile, not any nationality. It's not any physical remark here. So it allows us to take much more responsibility. Remember that bit about vindictiveness? We're not getting vindictive here. Like my, okay, now here's the question. I find again and again, I just give it a kind of simple answer. I've kind of got my surrogates as the authority figures. You know, if it's anything to do with an authority figure, even if somebody says, can I help you? I recognize a trigger in with me, like help, but you mean you want to just control me, don't you? You know, it's a person with a high-vis jacket at an entrance to somewhere. I don't spend a whole lot of time in that, but some of you may know this very well. You know, it could be a father, who reminds you, you're reminded of your father when it's somebody who has a very questioning or authoritative air. It may be your mother who's the one who runs away from conflict. Basics of the conflict situation, you know, am I gonna freeze and be paralyzed? Am I gonna fight and be angry? Am I gonna flee and escape? Which ones do I do? Just some ideas about patterns later we'll get into. Anyway, so like my mother, father, surrogate, just put it out there. I wouldn't get too high up on that, because we're talking more about, you know, us and our side. So the patterns I went into were, and you all should hopefully, you know, remember patterns that we adopt, patterns of compensation, patterns of rebellion. That was on the very first first page here. It's like Hoffman 101, how patterns live in us. I may talk about that a bit at the end. I don't want to get bogged down on the very, very fundamentals. But a pattern could be, I experienced you as hostile and glaring like my mother's surrogate. The patterns when I went into were shutting down. And the pattern, I felt I've done something wrong. Pattern I went into was wanting to run away. So all patterns, which I learned from my mother. My mother was the one who would more shut down and run away. That wasn't my father. That wasn't my mother. That wasn't my mother or father surrogate. So please take a couple of minutes there if you need, just to make some notes on the paper, on a bit of paper, on your device, whatever it is in your head, what the transference is.
I think, Tim, also a couple of people have said about what if the person is your child or if the person is actually your parent. I know some of the chats have disappeared up, but there were a couple of...
I'll see those, yeah. I'll just give people a minute or so and they'll answer those. Okay, hope you've all had a chance to do that. So there's a very interesting couple of questions, because it like brings it, what about if the past is the present? So fundamentally, of course, we're looking at how the past lives in the present, but what if your parent is still that way? Well, then it's not even a carryover, it's just a thing that's happening right now. The only thing is, am I bringing my child in, or am I my parents acting to me still as a child? And the disidentification you need to do from that is obviously treat yourself more compassionately. Be responsible about, am I going into my old reactions? You know, they say if you want to know if you're free of transference, just go and spend a week with your mum. But yes, your parents may still treat you very much as a child. So, you know, you'd be writing this down. I experience you as, you know, and you're not like my mother. You are my mother, or the mother of my childhood. In order to make a gap between the past and the present, you can put it perhaps there and write it down and have it as a, you know, a piece of knowledge. You act like the mother of my childhood. The patterns I get into are also the patterns of my childhood. And is it normal? Yes. You know, it's many, many TV series and movies, you know, have a joke about how, you know, infantilizing our parents are. I'm thinking of sort of things like Meet the Parents with, what's the name, Ben Stiller and Robert De Niro. I'm getting distracted by the plot there. Okay. And there was a question about transference to your child. I only got sort of the first line of that, so I don't understand if, you know, what the negative reaction is, but I think a lot of people come to the process when they've had kids because they don't want to repeat the pattern of their parents. So it's perhaps, without understanding the whole thing, coming down a generation. I learned stuff from my parents, I adopted the patterns within me, and I didn't want to. In fact, I wanted to be really different and treat my kids the same way, but I may come into a thing where I've carried over a pattern from the past into the present, and I become a parent. But again, melt into it with a softness, you know, allow yourself to experience it without judgment. Allow yourself to experience it as if your spiritual self is looking at that pattern and saying, okay, you've still got stuff from the past. Do you want to criticize yourself for it, or do you want to just be able to move on and let go? So in the cycle of transformation, awareness. Now, we say that the second stage of the cycle of transformation as an expression can be written. So it can be very good just to write it out, because then, okay, like it's out there. I have a habit that is, I just can't give up, which is writing, you know, my morning pages every day. So I really put it out there, and I don't just sort of shout or scream. It's not that intense, and other people in the house. But writing is a valid form of expression, but it's not a communication. I'm just looking at it. From both parents, yes. Can they also be patterns I learned in reaction to my parent? Yes, to both of those. The patterns can be from both parents. Some parents marry very similar people. In characteristics, they're very, very similar. So both parents may be very authoritarian. Both parents may be very critical. I'm again looking at the negative part of it. You can learn it in reaction. Yes, you can learn to be completely the other side. If you take a moment, the person who wrote that, was that to me or to everybody? It's gone up. Miriam to everyone, yeah. That was the parent one. Melanie was the child one. Can it, Cheryl, patterns from both parents, yes. Can I be patterns I learn in reaction to my parent? Yeah. If you go back to the very first page one, patterns live in us, have a little reminder about it could be any of those. It could be how I adopt them, I become critical. It could be I attract others who do this. It could be that I compensate or rebel. So the compensation is the middle one. And we used to use the word reaction, but you realize it was far too similar to rebellion. So we put it there as compensation. I want to do something different without the sort of F you of rebellion. It's more like, I'll be a nicer person. I'll try to be a nicer person. The compensation, the example we've got here, in order to protect myself, I withdraw, become invisible, and don't share my thoughts or feelings. And my parents might have been very demanding about me. So I shut up, I withdrew. Does it have to do with trauma? Trauma is a huge subject. I will say with, a more fundamental wound. I'd say transcendence has to do with unmet needs. I think we could put it as that way. Where we see in the process where it might be traumatic is if somebody has a hard time. Do you remember in the Tuesday small group, we have an exercise usually, or pretty much invariably, where you get to share something with each other, perceptions, how you first saw them. And then we move into the more positive, how we appreciate them and how, you suggest challenges for them, or, growth edges. For some people, that's very difficult. And I would say because there's, they're hijacked by a traumatic memory. It's, it's a big other subject about how memory plays in very different ways. Footnote, if ever you are communicating with somebody on anything to do with this, and again, as I said, it's not a communication tool, but some of you may be able to talk about how you feel and the vulnerability and can we get through this, don't use always and never, or it's far better to use a specific, because it trips the child mind and the memory into thinking of it as a much larger thing. If you can piece it up, you're kind of taking it back from a huge thing that could be a reminder of trauma. Oh, this is a very long one. Divorce. That would be quite a long, that would be quite a few worksheets. We've given you one extra worksheet here, but I would imagine that quite a few patterns come up about abandonment, about being betrayed, about feeling let down, or whatever it is. There are many, many things, but yes, and of course there would be a specific person in that. Tara Lee, thank you for this question. Can the Pans also be unlike my parents, meaning as they were not? We quite often get this in the process, and while I like hearing it now, is because we have to sort of, we know we've got a, you know, time limit. As you know, time is not our friend in the process. We're trying to pack a lot in. Yes, they can be unlike our parents. And this has to do with sort of the disowned part of our characters. So, for example, I would say that, firstly, you know, there's a whole idealization, there's a whole positive side of the thing, which could be unlike our parents. But as an example, I would say what I see in the process is somebody who's quite out there, somebody who's quite free, somebody has very much less self-consciousness, say, than average person coming in who wants to unpack their childhood. They just seem, you know, I don't have a problem, I can get on with everybody, can cause a reaction because they're unlike who I knew in my family. I was told, don't show off. Don't be the tall poppy. Be normal. Don't be, you know, because, and then that's arrogant. That's showing off. So I'll have a reaction to that person because they were unlike my parents, and they kind of go against the rule book, the unspoken rule book or grammar in my family life about what could go and what couldn't go. Another side note to that is I would say it also comes up a lot with sort of people who are more out there physically or out there perhaps, you know, in their sexual energy, their aliveness. That was not okay. That was a taboo. Don't do that. That's unlike my parents. I had a negative reaction to you because you're so out there in your body, unlike my mom, unlike my dad. The reaction, the Pans I went into were feeling very critical, very judging of you. And I know that that is very much like my mom or my dad. Where do we find this page? Which page? Melanie, do you mean in the handbook? There's the first bit about patterns. There's a quick reminder. There's the transference worksheet, and then there's the one I'm next going to go on. But for a moment, because everything's been just my voice and whatever, let's just open it up, get some more questions, and I'll take it down to another level. Serena, would you mind unmuting? And we can hear a couple of questions live, as it were.
Yeah, anyone who wishes to ask a question, you can unmute yourself. You should be able to do that. If you struggle, but make a little hand thing and I'll unmute you.
I'm just going to answer a general one that James has written about, you know, does it have to be a transference from my childhood or could it be just an unpleasant reality now? Yes, it could just be an unpleasant reality now. It could be I'm in lockdown. It could be that I'm fear of losing my job. It could be that I don't know what the hell's going to happen. The key is, do we have a trigger that perhaps has a whole another level of emotions to it? Like, does the adrenaline start coursing through my body? Is cortisol coming through there and making me just feel numbed? Now, some of this is totally reasonable. You know, if I have my unmet needs to survive and make a living threatened, of course, that isn't going to be a transference. It still helps to learn some centering tools. It still helps to calm the dark side, panicking and freaking out. Are we doing one on the dark side in a week or two? I think, mm-hmm. I think
that's sort 2 weeks.
Challenging the Dark Side with Matthew Pruin. And he will talk more about, yeah, that current reality. Tonight is more, yeah, is does my past really affect my present? Or is the present more scary now because I didn't get much solidity about coping with change. How can I build up resilience now in this current reality, when perhaps I wasn't taught to stand well on my own feet? I wasn't taught well by my parents. And again, just a sort of general thing about how the whole of Hoffman is run, we're looking at building resilience. We're looking at building ways in which we can bounce back from very difficult situations. How is it that, you know, in our right road, there will always be challenges, and nobody expected this one. How is it that we can still survive or thrive in a world that is going to be constantly throwing us up stuff, which allows me to mention. Yeah.
Sorry, we had someone, Amanda was just going to, you know, you asked if someone wanted to work through an example. She was unmuting. So before you go on, I just wonder if you've got time to.
No, sure. Thank you for interrupting me, because then I get a chance to shut up for a while. Amanda.
Well, not for too long. It's kind of a general example almost, because I found a lot of my patterns and transference, I actually think they're not just me learning from my parents, but multi-generational, where these sort of myths have grown up in my family. And one parent tells them to the child, you know, I've sort of seen it grandparent to parent as well. And they tell them something that will make them believe, so that people will not like you if you do X, therefore you must behave in this way. So you've assumed that you're in this bad place with other people before they've even spoken, maybe. You know, it's something, characteristics or a behavior that they will have. And it is transference, but it's almost bigger than that.
It's generational. Yeah.
Yeah. It's really strange.
It's a field. Systemic work, you know, constellation work, where it's very much with that. What's handed down from generation to generation to generation, spoken and unspoken. So yes, it's very much there. You can kind of have that in the background. Remember that Bob Hoffman's work was to go back two generations. He wasn't going to go back further than that, but it goes back all the time. You know, we use phrases like, you know, may the sins of the fathers not be visited upon the children, or the from your great grandparents to your grandparents to your parents and then to you. It can be, have so much force. Lovely cat, by the way, Amanda, there was stretching when you started to talk. Was obviously interested in your generational thing. Another question? Mary raised her hand. Mary GC. Is Mary GC muted? Is everybody muted? It looks like a lot of mutes are on.
I should be. Am I unmuted now?
You're unmuted. Even Serena was muted at that point. Yeah.
I just really wanted to share an experience that happened to me today, because I've been in lockdown on my own. So I was a bit like, well, I'm not really in transference at the moment, because I haven't seen anyone to be in transference with. And I'm very conflict avoidant, which comes from my childhood. And my neighbour is very much the opposite. And we had a big conflict, and literally it manifested immediately in me physically, to the point of having like acidic pain in my stomach, which is part of an ongoing health issue that I've had, which has been related to childhood trauma. You know, to the point I had to like run to the toilet. And you know, I've been dealing with that all day, thinking, amazing to have the transference this tonight to work through it. And actually that pain has now come back just even sitting here.
Really?
But, I just really, actually, it's just really good to share that, because it's been awful.
It's a good segue. We'll take a couple of questions or comments, because we will be looking next at what does it do to us? What is physically happening?
Can you hear me, Tim?
Yeah, I can, yeah.
I just really had a question, but maybe it's something you're not handling yet. You know, when it's something that you've had for a long time and it doesn't appear to be getting any better, awareness is the piece that I would like to have. I'd like to catch it. I'm just wondering, what is there one thing that would help you become more aware that you just catch the pattern?
A magic tool for that. Let me reflect. What's a magic way of being aware of any pattern? I would say, okay, this is top of my head. Trust the body. The body doesn't lie. What signals can I get? And that's what I'd love to pass on to in just a moment.
Yeah. Yeah.
How can I get to know my body so that I can dial it back from going into over stress mode, jumping out of my power?
I'd love to hear that. Thank you.
Alrighty. So there are some questions. I've also noticed that I'm craving chocolate. Well, that's a side effect. Yeah, that will up my dopamine and norepinephrine levels. It's not a natural deficiency of chocolate in the body, apparently. I get disappointed to hear. So, Catherine, I've also seen your question. It's a bit of a more complex one, but I would quite like to use the time, because you've been here a while now, to go to numbered page 3, which is called embodied transference. Does that make sense? Embodied transference there. Again, I will read it out if you haven't got it available there. And if you got it just on a screen, you know, you feel good to write it down somewhere if you want. So the first question in this embodied transference is, again, and it, you know, helpful for, perhaps for you, Sheila, is what is it that specifically triggers me? Is it a glance? Is it a phrase like, can I give you some feedback? Or do you have a moment to talk? Or we need to talk? Is it a body posture?
No, it's my husband is at dinner and he's enjoying a few glasses of wine. And I just become totally fixated on him pouring another glass of wine. I know it.
You know.
But I do not catch it, and I honestly tense up, and it's very obvious to everybody except to me, and I'm in fight or flight, I think, you know. My amygdala is out of control, I'd say. Well, not out of control, but you know, yeah, I feel I need to shut it down. Say something. You know, or
a bit of a clue for me. Sorry, Sheila, if I'm interrupting, is that everybody else notices it, but not me. You know, the memory is confused. Mm-hmm. I think it'd be really useful for you to learn a lot more about trauma, about how the memory gets confused and can't sort things out. And then you can unpack it. And then, you know, I'd be interested. What I'd like to do, though, you know, is in a moment just lead everybody through this. Mm-hmm. I'm interested in you as you're listening to this. To put down all the little bits that come in, so you can be more aware, as it were. Alrighty. So, everybody, what is it specifically triggers me? Is it the raising of the glass of wine? Is it the body posture? Is it when they don't load the dishwasher? Is it forgetting my birthday? Well, it only happens once a year. Okay. So you got the specific. Actually, what I want you to do is I'll lead you through this and you can write it down afterwards and then you can just sort of be in the experience more. So what I'd like you to do is to close your eyes so you can get now back in touch more with what's going on. So if you close your eyes and put yourself in the event. It could be the one you wrote about before, could be something else that you've suddenly realized, well, that's a big one with me. So you're back in there. And imagine it happening right now. You're kind of in the Hoffman world, dialing it up, giving it a bit more oomph and drama. So at the time of being triggered, what is it? Is it something that they say that you experience them saying? Is it a gesture? A look? Is it a behavior? Something that they do? Or maybe it's just how they appear, something in their physical appearance. So notice the trigger. Now the next part is what feelings. Sorry, now get more of a sense of your body first before we do the feelings. Can you feel it? I often feel it as adrenaline rushing around in my stomach, going to my legs and arms, or tightness in my stomach. Do you experience it in your throat, or sort of a headachey tightness, something right there in your head? If you know flight, you will perhaps sense it more in your extremities, in your legs and your arms. It could be your shoulders. That could be a sense of wanting to cry or feeling really sick, or you get it right there before you get really triggered, you get angry, which leads us to the next bit. So still in this situation, still in the thing that triggered you, get in touch with what you're feeling. What kind of feelings go with them? Go with that sensation. Do I feel sick? Do I feel ill? Do I feel victimized? Do I feel put down? Do I feel angry? Feelings, emotions. Okay, no judgment. It doesn't have to be right or wrong. So here you are getting much more of a sense of what's going on in your body as a way to bring from the unconscious to the conscious what's going on, how the past affects the present. And next, okay, so you're still in there with this body sensation, with the feelings. Now, check out what's going on in your interpretation, in the intellect, as it were. What meaning am I making of this? You're about to really get angry with me, or you don't love me, or you're ignoring me. Oh no, I'm going to get really dumped on here. I'm going to get shouted at. I'm going to get into trouble. What interpretation do you put on it? It's your intellect, but it's also involved with your old emotions there. It's locked in the past. It's crumpling down, as it were, from a strong present to a less powerful reaction. You've got that, and then last bit of this is to think, what does this remind me of in my childhood? Can I get the sense of the story here of the glaring or the ignoring or the accusing from something in my childhood? What's the emotional story here? Did I have a accusatory father or a ignoring mother? Some of you know this already, but we're looking at your main things here as you go deeper into the transference, deeper into your bodily reaction. So is there any particular childhood incident? Is there, some of you may know, have a hot memory, have a very vivid memory of what's happening with your child. So even though it's unpleasant, just for a moment, just as like when we're recycling, be back in there with the sensations, the feelings, the memory, and just tune what's happening. Let yourself play it out as if it's happening right now. You know it isn't happening right now. You've got this other part that's conscious, but for a moment be there. And again, with this softness of understanding ourselves as a tender child, notice your sensations as a child. If you can get back in touch with that, notice what you feel as a child and what you as a child try to understand or make sense of what that means. How do you as a child make sense of it? And then, yeah, is it being not being seen? Not worthy of being seen? And then that leads to this part that we don't bring out in this bit of the process, but we do later on in the process, is what does that child need right then? If you take yourself back there and you could talk to your child, what would your child say to you? If you ask the tender question, what do you need? And it could just be a kind look and a hug. It could just be being told, I'm here for you. I'm here to listen to you. But get in touch with what your child needed then. Some reassurance, some tender words. And now what I'd like you to do, fusing the past and the present, is to put your hands over your heart and just be there, imagining your tender emotional child inside of you. And speak some words of comfort to your child. Imagine your spiritual self is right there, standing beside your child and whispering some reassurance, whispering some kind words. Maybe something like, of course, it's not your fault. You were never meant to take on the pain of your parents. You were meant to be loved and appreciated. And I love and appreciate you. I see you for who you are. And say this to your child. Maybe just the three simple words, I love you. You're going to be okay. So you're directing some love to your child in that moment when you were triggered. So very gently, maybe keeping your hands over your heart for a moment, open your eyes. So to realize you're in this present moment and you can allow yourself to be tender with that emotional child, with your emotional self, right here and now in your adult life, in the room you are right now, building a practice of speaking with forgiveness and love and compassion to a tender part of you whose unmet needs can trigger an old emotional wound in the present. So be tender, tender, tender with your child. And on that page, I would just take a few moments to write down, if you've got a notepad or if you've got that page there, just some of the bits and pieces. But particularly, I love the bits at the end. What does that child need? And message from the spiritual self. Because we spent quite a bit of time today on sort of what the negative that doesn't work, as it were. And in a couple of minutes, we may put you just for a few minutes into some breakout rooms so you get more of a chance just to speak it out with each other if you want to, if you want to share. And okay, so whatever you remember of that, and the bit on page 3, the embodied transference, Serena's now going to just divide you up. I'm wondering, groups of 4, that'll still be quite a number of rooms, won't it? Probably you'll need a timekeeper. And the specifics are to talk about anything there, but to make sure that each of you gets a couple of minutes to share. So, Serena, I'm going to say 8 minutes, then I'll give me 15 at the end to just to complete things. With the specifics, sharing or asking each other what went on for you, how can you better address the needs of the child? What is it in the child that that's triggered, and a message from your spiritual self? Serena, would you organise the breakout rooms, please?
Yeah, okay. So just before we do, just a reminder again, the guidelines on the process around confidentiality of sharing. This is very much someone being able to be witnessed, working their way through something. It's not turning into a therapy session or people giving advice, if it's possible, just for those 2 minutes, just to hold the space for the person to find their way through. Look out for patterns that are coming out a lot, because those are the ones you'll be able to focus on. And maybe if you get struck, just nominate the next person to go around. There's going to be 4 of you. You're going to be given 2 minutes each based on the questions that Tim has said. If you've got any problems, just message us. So I'm going to put us into 35 rooms with hopefully 3 to 4 people in each. So see you soon.
So hopefully, welcome back. You had more of a chance to chat with each other there and get some insights. I'm just going to move on, because we've only got 15 minutes, to address a couple of sort of questions, major questions that come up. What's the difference between transference and projection? Well, transference has to involve a figure from the past, your child from the past, your parent. A parent is then internalized. Projection is used as kind of a term for what I don't own in myself, Jung's shadow self, I throw out onto another person. So I won't acknowledge that I'm also an authority figure. So I'll have big issues with authority figures, and that person is just throwing their weight around and they've got such a power trip or whatever, because I don't own it in myself. Or I project, that person is so weak and needy because I don't allow that in myself. It's a very fascinating area. And we probably can't, spend much, we won't be able to spend any time on it. It comes from the Gestalt field. Projection was their thing. And it's quite well known. It's actually better known than transference, because they sort of gave it away. And transference isn't, outside of Hoffman, it's really only in therapy circles. And I think it's great that we do it, because it's so useful. It really is so wonderful to be able to be in a relationship in the present and know what's going on from the past. Counter-transference, somebody asked a question, is kind of a cheeky move on the part of early therapists, because they said, if somebody's in transference with us, only them will be in counter-transference. So it's a particular therapeutic situation. You transfer a kind or authoritarian father onto me, I'll counter transfer and see you as, a needy dependent, and it will keep us locked in an unhealthy power dynamic for a long time. It would be more honest if, and Irving Yalom wrote very beautifully about this in his memoirs, a great psychotherapist, Irving Yalom wrote Love's Executioner, but he got into transference with a client who just, drove him crazy, reminded him of his mother or something, and he was honest about that, rather than it being, it's her stuff on me and then I'll go back on her. So two of those things. There's a sheet for those of you who know that we do stuff with patterns. Page 5 is to write down any patterns that you can see from the transference worksheets that you made today. any patterns particularly that you go into? I feel victimized, I feel small, I feel crushed, I feel ignored. Put those there. We'll deal with, you know, one at a time. And a reminder about recycling. I think it last week was self-compassion with Janet. I think it was 2 weeks ago. Jeremy led a recycling workshop, and there are recordings of it on the website, or you've got one in, hopefully, if you've still got your Hoffman workbook, you've got the text there about leading through a recycling, basically embodying the spiritual self. But again, you go back into the scene with the pattern, you relive it, and then you transform it in a way. You shower yourself with the golden light, the spiritual self, and let that transform through. Time wise, okay, just a few more minutes. Anybody want to put something in the chat or take themselves off mute? And it will just have to be very quick, because then I will, you know, just to round things up for the evening, knowing that some of you still got to go and eat and all that. Any tips for when I sense someone else might be in transference with me? Breathe. Know that it's not personal. My top tip is to imagine, because they'll never know you're imagining this, that there's a little child inside of them who's screaming and wasn't picked up, who's angry and was just criticized, whose needs were unmet. My old reaction would be to fight with them or protect them or run away from them. That's my left road reaction. My right road response would hopefully be just to know what's appropriate. I don't have to be there with them if it's a very unhealthy or toxic situation, but I don't have to strike back or run away. So there is a phrase, never, never lose a good trigger, never miss out a good trigger. If somebody is in transference, you're in transference, then work it out. But again, you know, life's very short. Sometimes you just want to be blissing out and not having to deal with other people's stuff. I know two therapists who very much know all the language of transference, but they say, we've had enough of it now. We just want to go straight through. We've had enough of telling each other about mother and father. We want to go straight through and talk to each other as human beings. So it's a step on the way. It's a wonderful tool to get you from the past to the present. Don't become addicted to it. Now, one thing we can do is imagine that all these patterns are now living inside of you in your dark side. Your dark side loves to give them more power. Your dark side loves to give you all kinds of rationale for playing with them, for beating yourself up with them, for beating up others with them. So what I want you to do is, we'll all do this together. Remember, you've got the tool of the dark side stomp when you're in a place where you can stomp. But we're going to take it that there may be other people in the place you're living in or just down below or whatever, so they're not going to like it if you suddenly start impersonating a bass drum. So what I want you to do is close your eyes for a moment and imagine the patterns that you have when you go into transference are there in your dark side. You know, dark side, this horrible, ugly thing on your left shoulder, and just whispering away and saying, I'm not going to change. You're always going to be that little child reacting. I'm going to feed your negative intellect with all kinds of other poisonous, toxic rubbish. You say, okay, I've got the choice now, and I don't want to, almost going to use an expletive there. I don't want to use your way of looking at the world anymore. I want to be my spiritual self. I want to come from a more conscious way. But now you're going to use your spiritual self as a real fighting warrior. So seize, imagine you've got that dark side over your neck there. Seize it by its scrawny little neck. Pull it out. And now instead of shoving it, running it around on the floor, imagine you're tying it into a bag, like a rubbish bag, and then you've got you hold the handle and you swing it round and 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 round, really get a good thing, and I fling it away, fling it far, far away, and it explodes there and it showers clear light, and it's those are your patterns there that have gone out with that horrible dark side. And you breathe, soften, feel your own body now, feel yourself sitting or standing or lying here. Get your breathing back calm and know that you are not your dark side. Who you are in your essence is that wonderful light being. Your spiritual self united with your positive emotional self, allied with your positive intellect. Here for this lifetime in this miracle of a body that can show up and be present, that is here very much alive to get the most out of this existence, this day and tomorrow and every moment. And know this, you are love, you are loving, and you are lovable. May we end as we began, with hands over the heart. It's really feeling that sense of love and warmth and light, drawing in to ourselves, to our heart center. Breathing in the goodness. Acknowledging to ourselves that we are loving beings going along a right road of conscious choice. And we will have lessons that remind us to wake us up and let the past go so we can enjoy the present. Thank you, everybody. Do open your eyes whenever you feel like it. And may I just say, to build yourselves a nice reminder of your spiritual self. I think Matthew and Eliza or others have mentioned it, to have, you know, a sanctuary in nature or your home or an altar or something that can you go to, and it reminds you, okay, here's my spiritual self can come to the fore. Thank you very much for looking at the patterns of transference and the positive side. And may you all use the Hoffman tools in your life to, yeah, be more present, more alive. You're worth it.